The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson and John Breach, both having very good hair days today. If you guys are listening to audio only, you are missing out. Brinson's got a very full floof going on, is what I will call it. Yeah. And Breach got a haircut, looking very sharp, my friend. Looking very, very sharp today. We will cover.
Hey, your hair looks great too, Katie Mox.
Well, thank you. It's, you know, I appreciate that. I'm just going to take the compliment and not give you the whole girl. No, it's not. Thanks. So thank you. I appreciate that. Today, we will cover early division winner picks. We're going to tell you when to go chalk and when to take value down the board. Coming up tomorrow, we've got the Brady Quinn football show. And then on Thursday, it is our mailbag show. So send us your questions at Pick Six Pod on Twitter or any of our individual accounts for any upcoming mailbag questions you may have. And if you are liking the pod, go ahead and show us some love. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page. If you're an audio listener only, download, follow, leave a 5-star review, and don't gatekeep the podcast. Tell your friends to listen and watch. Fellas, speaking of listening and watching, we promoted last week the PGA Championship, which was on CBS. Did y'all watch the PGA Championship? I know you did, Brinson.
Yeah, of course. Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, Brooks Koepka won, right? It's his fifth major that he won. Kind of interesting because he's a LIV player, right? Did y'all see the awkward exchange between the PGA CEO and Koepka after he won? It was a little bit icy. And so it had me thinking, was that the most awkward league principal player championship exchange, or possibly Brady and Goodell after Deflategate?
Yeah, Brady and Goodell Deflategate. Deflategate was pretty, because like it was in Arizona. It was the Seahawks Super Bowl 49. I mean, I remember being there, and like it's still ranked number one on my list of best Super Bowls ever. And you have this situation that's like lingering in the background. Like I remember, it was a thing for the entirety of those playoffs, and it was definitely a thing when the trophy was handed off. But somehow, kind of actually flew under the radar. Koepka's, you know, the interesting thing is that the PGA and the PGA Tour are separate. So it's like, it's a weird distinction that not a lot of people know. Yeah. Like, we have this text, you know, talking with friends about this. Like, the PGA, the people who run the PGA Championship are not the same people as the PGA Tour. And like the USGA, there's all these different governing bodies in golf. So awkward for the LIV player to win, but I think the Brady and Goodell one probably a little more awkward, Breach.
Well, Brinson, I think you have your Brady and Goodell handoffs mixed up, or you remember the one that happened. So Brady actually got suspended for the 2016 season because of the Deflategate. So it wasn't resolved yet at Super Bowl 49. So his first Super Bowl after the suspension was Super Bowl 51, the 28-3 comeback against Atlanta.
Oh,
Brady wins MVP of that Super Bowl. And if you've ever covered a Super Bowl, which Brinson has, you know that there is an MVP press conference the following morning where
dude,
the
I went.
People on stage are Roger Goodell and the MVP. And so somehow I scored a front row seat because I showed up at
you and I were both there
like 5 a.m. This press conference, like 8 a.m.
We were there together.
Well, then you were in the back row.
Like you confirmed that he was also there with you.
We were sitting next to each other in Houston, and the Belichick was in there too. And it was incredibly awkward.
That was the most awkward hand.
Yes, I agree with that. We were sitting together, you serial killer.
Oh, you said this whole thing was in Phoenix when in fact it was in Houston.
Because Super Bowl 49, when Deflategate happened in Phoenix. I remember when me and Wilson got there to set up because you were in Vegas for that one. Me and Wilson got there with Jamie Erdahl, who's now much more famous than you are. Me and Wilson got there to set up. And I remember like seeing Dave Portnoy, who I'd never seen before. Like, I didn't even know who he was really, but like he was like walking around at like 98. What?
Who Dave Portnoy was?
I knew he was. I just didn't. Barstool was not Barstool then. Okay. Barstool was big, but they weren't like Barstool.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was walking around with like near 98.5 The Fan, or 95 The Sports Hub. Yeah, 95 The Sports Hub in Boston with like Toucher and Wrench of those guys. And he was like, "Where's that guy Kravitz? I know Kravitz is around here somewhere." He's looking for Bob Kravitz of the Indy Star, who had been the one who'd blown the thing open because Ryan Grigson had leaked all the information to him. You gotta remember this was Super Bowl 49. What do we just have? Super Bowl 57. This is like eight. This is almost a decade ago. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you see a picture of me and Wilson. You're like, oh, okay, never mind. That makes more sense. Like Wilson had some hair, and I had bangs.
Bangs. Ooh. Speaking of good hair, I'd like to see a picture of that. So if you find it, go ahead and throw it up on the YouTube channel. All right. Well, okay. So it seems like Brady and Goodell. Deflategate, whichever Super Bowl, you know, pick your poison, is the most awkward exchange ever. All right, so let's dig into the show here, fellas, and talk early division winner odds. First up, we're looking at the AFC East. And Brinson, you have ranked all of these on who you feel the most comfortable with going chalk and where you feel the most value is down the board. So when we look at the AFC East, you got the Bills at the top, plus 135. Then you got the Jets pretty close thereafter, plus 200. The Patriots all the way down the board, plus 10,000. Is this a place where you take value?
No. Oh, well, yes, it is a place I'm going to take value. Except the value is not going to be where you guys think it is. The value is going to be at the very top where the Buffalo Bills are plus 135. This is the third, my number three division in terms of confidence that the Bills are going to win. And that's not necessarily a statement about the Bills. I mean, it is a statement about the Bills. But maybe more of a statement about how difficult it's going to be to predict division winners and NFL predictions for the 2023 season as we stand right now. I think a large portion of this breach is because we've had things like Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets, and the AFC is so top loaded that you have all of these teams in the AFC that makes it difficult to pick those divisions in the AFC to a degree. And then over the NFC, there's such a dearth of elite teams that it's hard to pick a team that's definitely going to win its division. For me, though, I've been saying all offseason, I'll continue to beat this drum until we get closer to the start of the season, that regardless of – and assuming there's no like injury or something like that, that regardless of Aaron Rodgers, coming to the AFC East, and regardless of the Dolphins, being a bit of a popular choice to maybe upset here, Breach, I'm taking the Bills, and I think the Bills are some of the best value that you will see on the board. Plus 160 for the Chiefs last year, just ridiculous. I think the Bills would be plus 160 if the Chiefs hadn't crushed that division last year. People, the Bills at plus money is just silly to me.
Yeah, this does feel exactly like the AFC West from last season when you saw the Broncos trade for Russell Wilson, the Chargers adding some upgrades, the Raiders, everybody thinking, man, one of these teams are going to make a run and dethrone the Chiefs finally, and that pushed the Chiefs into plus money, which was just insane. Brinson, you did bang that drum all last year. Bet the Chiefs now. Bet the Chiefs now. Brinson said bet Thank the you. Chiefs now more than anyone has ever said bet the Chiefs now in the history of betting. And that, you know,
he won it by November.
Yeah, I mean, just and all.
Also liked the Eagles last year. Wow, Brinson.
I know. I had a good year last year.
So you have
what is this?
There he is.
That's not even bangs. Oh, it's just a lack of pride keeping up my hair. Yeah,
gotta watch.
You know, I have to say, I like the way it's gone now, flipped up.
Yeah. Gotta get it off the.
And the facial hair really has done a lot for you.
And no beard. He looks like a young Ron Burgundy.
All right, that's enough, Debo. Let's move on to our odds here.
Yeah, but what I was going to say, so the same thing happened here with the Jets adding Aaron Rodgers, with the Dolphins even getting better. I mean, they added Jalen Ramsey, made a bunch of good moves, and so that's pushed the Bills in the plus money, and it just feels like, man, the Bills won this division by 4 games. It wasn't even like this was a close division last year, and even if they take a small step back and say the Jets improve by 3 or 4 games, that still only gets them to 10-7, 11-6, so it does feel like I am going to agree with Brinson here, and feels like the Bills are the play right now.
All right. Sims in the chat said Katie's not going to bet on the Bills based on the fact that I've bet on them for several years in a row now, and it's blown up in my face. I actually think that there's some good value on Miami at +320. Obviously, we don't know what the Jets are really going to look like. I'm pretty high on them. I like them over their win total. I like the Bills, but they find a way to disappoint me every single year. And Miami has a lot of question marks. Obviously, we don't know if Tua is going to be playing or not, but they have all the pieces in place. And at +320, I could see them squeak in there and having a good year. All right, moving on to the AFC North. Breach, this is your division. You got the Bengals at the top here, +120. That's the chalkiest. Then you got the Ravens, just obviously getting Lamar Jackson back, +275. Then the Browns and the Steelers. What do you think?
Well, I think that I already know what Brinson's going to pick, and I hate when Brinson jumps on my team's bandwagon, but look, I actually think I'm torn with trying to pick a winner in this division. Obviously, I do think the Bengals are going to be very good. I think this is the best Bengals roster they have had since Joe Burrow's been there. You know, this is the year they don't have to worry about money. Next year, Joe Burrow's going to have his extension, whether it happens this year or early next offseason. Jamar Chase is going to be eligible for an extension next offseason. So they're going to be throwing money around. But this year, this team is stacked. They don't have to worry about the salary cap. This is their all-in year. So it does feel like the Bengals are going for broke. We saw them sign Orlando Brown. If they keep Jonah Williams, that's a good spot for him at right tackle. So it feels like their offensive line question marks are fixed. And then you have the Ravens who just, I mean, the Ravens had the Bengals beat in the wild card playoff game until Tyler Huntley made just the most ridiculous fumble of all time. The Ravens are a very good team, but you know, it's contingent on Lamar Jackson staying healthy. They've got a new offensive coordinator, so they definitely have some question marks. So I definitely think I lean Bengals here, but man, the Ravens definitely provide some interesting value.
Yeah, I think that's where I'd go as well. I'm pretty confident in Cincinnati. I mean, I think the Bengals are, it feels a little weird to be confident in the Bengals, right? Well, I mean, you know, Breach. You've been doing this for your entire life. Like, don't you feel like you? I mean, I think. Let me put it this way.
If everything, okay, yeah, continue.
No, I was just gonna say I'm just making fun of myself for whatever.
Brinson, let me answer your question. This is the most confident I've ever felt about a Bengals team going into a season in my entire life.
Correct. Which is
especially
kind of scary.
When you look at the rest of the division, there are question marks all over the place, except really with the Bengals.
Yeah. And I mean, I think for me, I was even the Bengals might have been. So I have the Bengals as the number 5 team. If I'm ranking them 1 to 8 on a confidence scale, remember I mentioned the Bills are 3, the Bengals are 5 for me. It is almost entirely based on the combination of Lamar Jackson and Todd Monken. I think Lamar with that contract will be out to prove something. I think the change in offensive coordinator will do a lot for the Ravens on that side of the ball. And I think the defense will improve. If I'm betting this division, again, I'm going to pick the Bengals. I think the Bengals will win the division. Might pick the Bengals to win the Super Bowl just to spite Breach. I think the Ravens are some pretty good value at +275 because of Lamar. But it's also, if you're going to bet the Ravens, weren't they like 4-1 at one point when it looked like we didn't know what was going to happen with Lamar and they hadn't added all these pieces on offense? You know, I'm a huge Zay Flowers fan. I think Rashad Bateman's gotten a, you know, a raw deal just because we tend to judge these wide receivers, especially when other guys in their receiver class are blossoming early. Maybe before we give them time to develop. I think Baltimore could really be a very strong team this year, particularly with an easier schedule. But I just trust the Bengals, and I'm confident in the Bengals, and I am supremely confident in Joe Burrow. So, Katie, for me, Bengals number 5, but and it would be higher if they were in a different division, obviously.
So the Bengals are number 5 for the AFC North. Did you give what your number was for the AFC East and the Bills?
Number 3. The Bills are my 3rd. I'm a lot higher on the Bills than a lot of other people. I mean, you can make the case that the Jets are a little scarier than the Ravens. Maybe the Jets are a little scarier than the Ravens. I think the totality of the AFC North is a little bit scarier than the totality of the AFC East because, I mean, I've been getting beat on by Browns fans all weekend long because I said they were going to go 7-10. It's like you've had 3 winning seasons since 1999. Maybe pump the brakes and give me a little bit of slack for not saying you're going to go 14-0 or 16-0 or whatever it is. And then the Steelers, you know, I think Pittsburgh at 5-1 is – I'd like something like 7-1 or 8-1, I think, if I were going to bet them. But I can see Pittsburgh being a much more solid team than people expect. I think this division is a little tougher to navigate than the AFC East, which has the Patriots as the cupcake in the division.
Well, and to Brinson's point real quick, all 4 of these teams went 3-3 in the division last year. So this division was decided by your out-of-division games. And so in that sense, they were
Baltimore has a much easier schedule out of the division.
Equally matched, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I'll go chalk on this one with the Bengals as well. I do think that the Ravens, to your point, Breach, are interesting value-wise with a plus 275, but when's the last time that Lamar Jackson has been healthy for an entire season? Now, I know they're changing the offense, and it's going to be a lot more pass-heavy this year, but there's still a lot of question marks. And, Brinson, you talk about Browns fans being angry with you. Try calling Deshaun Watson a creep on social media and see what that gets you.
I was told I picked them to win 7 games because I don't like Deshaun Watson. You just don't win very much. You don't win very
much.
They
haven't won a division since 1989.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Who do they think they are? It's outrageous.
Outrageous. All right. On that note, we are going to take a quick break here. You're watching Pick 6. We'll be right back.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Pick 6 podcast. Mox, Brinson, and Breach here today. 3 good hair days, if you are paying attention. All right, moving on down the line. AFC South. This is the first time we're seeing a major favorite with the Jags, minus 170. And then second, the Tennessee Titans, plus 380. Huge discrepancy there, Brinson. Obviously, Jags, is this a place where you go chalk, or do you think there's some value?
Yeah, I mean, the Jags were like 8-1 to win the division last year. Everybody and their brother bet them. I picked them to win the division, though. That's right. My Jaguars. I think you could talk me into – I have them – this is the number 4 team for me in terms of confidence. So the Bills above them at 3, the Bengals below them, and that's obviously entirely entirely related to the company they're keeping in that division. And well, not entirely. I should throw Trevor Lawrence some love, but I'm saying, like, relative to the, I would have the Bengals. I think the Bengals are a better team than the Jaguars, and I would never bet the Jaguars to like finish above. Like if they were just playing 16 times, you know, in a season, or 17 times in a season, I think the Bengals would go like 12-5 maybe against the Jaguars. Maybe not that much, but the point being is, Jacksonville is above Cincinnati in my confidence rankings because I trust the Jaguars and Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence against a much, much weaker division. Remember, we have, with the other three teams here, the Titans have Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry coming back. Offensive line is in flux. Mike Vrabel's a great coach. Will Levis is sitting there waiting for that team to struggle out of the gates. And you have that week 8 bye, I believe, or week 7 bye, maybe week 8. He's like, you feel like he could be the starter. Colts have Anthony Richardson, a raw first-year rookie, and then C.J. Stroud in Houston. We assume both of those guys will start. There's a reason the Jaguars are minus 170 here, Breach.
There is a reason they are minus 170. But look, if there's one team I don't trust atop these odds rankings, you're getting minus money with Jacksonville. I'm not taking it. I am staying far, far away from it. I think there's a lot better value. You can literally bet against Jacksonville and guarantee yourself winning money as long as Jacksonville doesn't win the division. If you were to bet 100 on Tennessee, Indy, and Houston, you win money no matter what as long as Jacksonville doesn't win. So you're getting great value with these other teams. And I think you look at the Titans last season, and I think this is a good example where Ryan Tannehill was injured. And everybody remembers this team. Hey, they weren't that good. But guess what? They had a chance to go to the playoffs in the final game of the season. They started a guy who had been on the roster for 12 days in Joshua Dobbs and still almost beat Jacksonville, who had everybody available. And so I think the Titans are one of the most underrated teams right now. They started 7-3 last season before Ryan Tannehill got injured. Ryan Tannehill dealt with injuries, missed 5 games last year. And that 7-3 could have been 9-1. Malik Willis almost beat the Chiefs. He lost in overtime. Week 1, they lost because Randy Bullock missed a field goal on the final play of the game. So we're talking about a Titans team that could have started 9-1 very easily last year. And so I think Tennessee is going to be – I don't know how Mike Vrabel does it. Their roster never screams that they're going to be good, but he somehow finds a way to muster 9, 10, 11 wins. And so if I'm looking for value in a team that could possibly steal this division, I think I like Tennessee at plus 380. But I would also sprinkle money on the Colts and Texans. I am just betting against Jacksonville. I think at any of these values, I would take sprinkle money on Tennessee, Indy, and Houston.
The Texans for me are the play here, and almost 10-1. You know, Jacksonville is the best team. Indy could be really, really exciting if Anthony Richardson clicks. These odds are going to shift a lot depending on, I would guess. I think it's probably built in that Anthony Richardson and CJ Stroud are starting in week 1. I don't think you're crazy there, Breach. I mean, Vrabel, like the Titans are just, you can see them winning like 9 games by a score, like every game is 16-13, you know, and then, Katie, we have a situation where we're all wishing we'd bet Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I agree with both of you. It's hard to say that the Jaguars, as I like to say, the Jags aren't going to win this division, but laying $170 feels like a lot. I do like the Texans, and maybe it's just because I'm a 49ers fan. All right, we got our defensive coordinator over there now, but at plus 950, there seems to be a lot of value there. And yeah, the Colts, will have to see how that shakes out. I'm not too high on the Titans, though.
I do want to throw one more thing on Jacksonville. Two more things that concern me real quick. Number one, they play back-to-back games in London. We don't know how a team's going to respond to that. You're away from your family for quite a long time, and you're out in London, where, by the way, Jacksonville lost to the Broncos last season. Number two is that they have probably the worst first-place schedule of any team in the NFL. Jacksonville has to play the Chiefs, the Bills, and the 49ers next season. No other teams in their division have to play those three games. So that's three games where I feel like Jacksonville, good chance they go 0-3. I cannot see them possibly going 3-0 in those three games. And then the other three teams have it much easier because they're not facing the Chiefs, Bills, and 49ers.
Dom in the chat already trolling with the 40 whiners. I see you. What were you going to say, Brinson?
No, I was going to say, I mean, I think I don't think that you should anyone should consider betting the Jaguars at minus 170. It's just not a great number. If they have a tough schedule to start, you know, if they beat the Chiefs in week two, which I think I had them, like, let's say they beat Indy and beat the Chiefs in the first 2 weeks of the season, you know, the number's gone. You're not going to get to it. But minus 170, when you may see the Titans win a couple to start, what if Indy beats the Jags and the Jags lose to Kansas City? Then you could get the Jacksonville plus money-ish, or at least like a reasonably close number to even money to win the division. So I think it's definitely a wait and see if you like Jacksonville. And if you like one of the other teams, you know, go ahead and consider doing something now before they name these starting quarterbacks.
All right, Brinson, this is number four on your list.
Yes.
Number four. Okay, and OTA start today, so it'll be interesting to see how those new quarterbacks are slanging the ball out there. Okay, moving on to the AFC West. I'm assuming this is going to be your number one, Brinson, as to how confident you are in the chalk, Kansas City Chiefs. Interesting, Kansas City Chiefs are minus 150. Their odds aren't as steep as the Jags are at minus 170. Then you got the Chargers, plus 325. Always the fun, sexy pick. Always disappoint you. Then you got the new look Broncos, plus 475. And then my Jimmy Garoppolo at plus 1200 there on the bottom. Brinson.
So, yeah, you got it. Number one for me at minus 150, even though that number doesn't really reflect. To me, the Chiefs should be minus 200. We got plus 160 last year.
Why are the Jags a bigger favorite than the Chiefs are?
Because the public perception is that the gap between the Jaguars are like the up-and-coming, hot, sexy team. The gap between the Jaguars and the rest of that division is – yeah, right. Well, people are just sour on the Chargers at this point.
That's what I'm saying, the new Chargers.
No. Don't fall for that. See, everybody's like, oh, the new Chargers. No, it's same old Chargers.
No, but I'm saying they are the new Chargers in the sense where everybody thinks they're the fun, sexy pick, but they actually will continually disappoint you.
No, but see, that's the same old Chargers. They've been the new Chargers every year for like 13 years. really more like 20 years. I think there's an interesting case to be made that if you want to, you could take the Chiefs and parlay them. I actually would not be opposed to parlaying the Chiefs with the Bills, and that gets you almost 3-1 for the Chiefs and the Bills to win their respective division. Of course, you have to deal with the Jets there. If you prefer maybe a little little smaller payoff, you go Chiefs and the 49ers. That pays out plus 170. And if the 49ers fix that quarterback situation, we'll get to that. I don't want to spoil it with the 49ers rank, but I mean, you can kind of figure it out. Chiefs number one with a bullet here for me. Chiefs is number one. It's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Enough said. I like the Broncos a lot more this year. Sean Payton's a massive upgrade. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is an upgrade for this team, this Raiders team, over Derek Carr. And I think Kellen Moore's an upgrade over Joe Lombardi. So all three of these teams got better, but they all got way better last year too. And the Chiefs just have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. It's that simple, Breach.
Yeah, I'm not really going to go into this one. The Chiefs have won this division for 7 straight years. There's no reason to bet against them until another team can prove they can beat them. They went 6-0 again in the division last year. They went 5-1 the year before that. So we're talking 11-1 against divisional opponents in the past 2 years. There's no reason to bet. You know, it's not great value, but until another team proves they can knock the Chiefs off, there's no reason to risk it betting another team.
Couldn't agree more. You know, it's so interesting too, when you look at last year, the odds were a little bit tighter. Kansas City was plus 160 to win the AFC West. Chargers and Broncos closing at plus 250, Raiders at plus 675. So big shift here after the Chiefs unsurprisingly surprised everyone and won the division yet again, and a Super Bowl yet again. All right. So we are going to take another quick break here. You're watching Pick Six. If you're not following us on social, go ahead and do that at Pick Six Pod across all social platforms. We'll be right back.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. And we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm going to play this game for speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the Pick Six podcast. If you're not following us on social, go ahead and do that. If you haven't downloaded the podcast, audio only, go ahead and do that. If you're not following us on YouTube, go ahead and do that as well. Moving on to the NFC Feast, formerly the NFC East, probably the best division, if not one of the best divisions in football. Eagles are the favorite, -105. Then you got the Cowboys, +165. Giants, +700. And then the Commandos at the bottom, +1300. Brinson, are we going chalk here? You were high on the Eagles last year.
No. As devotees of this podcast are likely aware, we hate the Eagles this year. You know, by the way, I don't know if anybody knows this who's in the chat. Speaking of devotees of the podcast, but we've got somebody special producing today. That's right. It's Debo behind the curtain. Debo, what's up, buddy? Long time.
Hey, after 1923 episodes with you, I thought I was done forever, but I'm back today.
is that actually the number, though?
That's, I mean, that's the official count.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I took time one day. It took about 6 hours.
You did 1923 podcast episodes with me.
He lived.
You might not have been on all of them. You might have missed a couple, but wow. Yeah, that's the number.
That is. You could file an HR violation, honestly.
Yeah, did you hear how depressed Debo sounded when he said that number?
1923.
It's been 84 years. It's like
I'm back on an episode where you're picking the Cowboys to win the division.
I know. Actually, I think that when I do my picks for the season, I do have the Cowboys. I did the Brinson model, right? And I went through and did the full schedule and, you know, broke down how I think everything's going to play out. I ended up with the Cowboys atop the division. It is very, very clear that the value here is in the New York Giants at 7-1. I mean, that number is crazy. Think about the Texans are what, 9.5-1 to win the AFC South. And we have the NFC East, which is a difficult division. It's going to be a tight race. I think the Giants is 7-1. They were a playoff team last year, and we saw what happened in year two in Buffalo with that regime and sort of the same setup that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are going with. Daniel Jones year two in this system. Why can't this Giants team improve in 2023? I like the Giants a lot at 7-1. Yeah. I would say that for me, this division certainly is one of the tougher ones to pick. I've got the Cowboys I'm taking at +165. I think that's a great number for the Cowboys too. I bet the Cowboys and the Giants. If you like the Eagles, -105 is not terrible. But this is number six for me in terms of confidence. And it's only because it would be maybe eight, except there's like so many wild cards in the teams that are involved in 7 and 8. And I think you got three teams that legitimately could compete for this division quite easily, Breach.
You know what, Brinson? I agree, but I also disagree. I agree with your pick because, of course, I am the Breachbot 3000, and I have brainwashed Brinson into also picking the Cowboys. Because, of course, I'm picking the Cowboys. I mean, that is clear. We all know there has not been a repeat division champion in the NFC East since 2004. So it is tough to pick the Eagles here, but I think it's a two-horse race. I'm throwing the Giants out. You mentioned Daniel Jones. I think he's the reason the Giants cannot win the division. They might get a wild card spot. They might be good again. He might improve, but I just think there's such a big gap between him and Jalen Hurts and him and Dak Prescott that I cannot picture the Giants winning this division. So I think it's either Cowboys or Eagles. And I just think that having that target on your back from being the defending NFC champion, from being that Super Bowl team, you're going to get every team's best shot when you go into the season. And that's tough to do. You know, we haven't seen, brought this up before. Just when you're the losing team in a Super Bowl, it is hard to get back to the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously the Bengals got close, last year, but they didn't make it. So I am just going to ride the Cowboys there because I think the Eagles regress a little bit coming off the Super Bowl loss. So I agree with Brinson that the Cowboys are the value here.
I agree as well, although I kind of like the Giants. I'm agreeing with Brinson there at that 7-1. The Eagles, you look at their strength of schedule last year, a little bit easier. This year, it's going to be a lot tougher. They won a lot of games. Yes. They won a lot of games last year. It's going to be hard to repeat. And you talk about how hard it is coming off of a Super Bowl. How about the 2020 49ers on their revenge tour? Now, of course, we were decimated with injuries, and I hope that does not happen to Philadelphia. But a lot of things can go wrong or go sideways in that season following a Super Bowl loss, as much as you're hungry for the revenge. So definitely see some regression for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants are just the fun, frisky team at 7-1. You just got to sprinkle a little bit on there. And you know, seeing Dallas Cowboy fans cry at the end of every season is a pastime that is very near and dear to my heart. All right, moving on to the NFC North. A lot has changed here. The King of the North no longer there. And Detroit Lions are sitting atop the odds boards, plus 120. Then you got the Vikings, then the Bears, and all the way at the bottom, the former reigning Kings of the North for many years, the Packers. Breach, you first.
Well, you know, it's funny because we looked at the AFC South odds and I said I would, if you bet on every team except for Jacksonville and just basically bet that Jacksonville will lose, you're guaranteed to win money. Same situation here. If you bet on every team besides Detroit, you bet the same amount of money on the Vikings, Bears, and Packers. You are guaranteed to win money as long as the Lions don't win. So I guess I am going full anti-cat today, which is so unlike me because I love cats. I'm against Detroit.
You don't even actually have a cat, by the way, do you?
I don't think they are going to win. That's none of your business, Brinson, about whether I have a cat. I just think the Lions are way too hyped up right now. Like, sure, they could be good, but the Vikings, it's not like they've taken a huge step back. They won the division last year. I kind of like them. The Bears have improved everywhere. I mean, the Bears could absolutely surprise people and win the division. I don't know why the Packers, everybody's just riding them off at plus 500. I feel like they're the best value bet here. So I think if there is one team that I am staying away from in the NFC North, it is the Lions. And if I had to make a pick right now, I'd probably go with the Vikings.
I forgot Debo's here. Debo's like on alert. He caught me putting a chat thing on the screen. So you're anti-cat tonight. Does that mean you're anti-Bengals?
I did say during the AFC North thing that I was kind of split and I could see the Ravens winning it. I didn't go all in on the Bengals.
I think the Vikings number here is like so shocking, it's scaring me off. They're drifting further and further down. Like they're going, I don't know if it's the Dalvin Cook stuff, the expectation that he'll be traded. It's hard to win that many one score games in an NFL season, not have it regress to the mean to some degree the following year. I mean, it's not going to be, they go 0-11 in one score games, but you know, you're going to have some 60 yard field goals that catch a little breeze and don't go through, you know, a bunch of different things can happen. I had the Lions winning the division pretty handily in the Brinson model, you know.
We haven't mentioned that today.
Well, I mentioned it once before. I actually noticed that you didn't pop off. I was surprised that you didn't look up and it's okay. It's fine. You hear you hear me talk enough. You just sort of tune out a large portion of it.
Ask Devo.
ask anyone in my entire family how that works out for them. I would say that if I'm looking at this division, it's the seventh hardest. I've taken the Lions and I'm not betting the Lions at plus 120, not with their history of, you know, success. My buddy Adam Schein, as he likes to call him, the rebuilding since 1935 Detroit Lions. Any team could win this division. I think the Packers would like it a little bit longer, maybe like 6 or 7-1 if I was going to bet that. But the Packers are probably value. If Jordan Love is good, this is a division where they can absolutely, you know, hold serve and win the division. You know, I guess not hold serve because the Vikings won it last year, but 5-1 could win the division. I'm not as high on the Bears as some people. This is more than likely a stay away for me. The Vikings number is just crazy. I think people have been hammering the Vikings and it just keeps drifting. Number 7 on my power ranks or number 7 on my confidence ranks. And it's only not number 8 because the eighth division, which you can probably pick out since we only got 2 left, is just so convoluted. It's impossible to figure out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have recency bias. They look at the record for Minnesota last year. And to your point, all of those or most of them single possession games. Hard to trust them. Hard to trust Kirk Cousins, especially in primetime or under really any bright light. The Detroit Lions are just the history of the Detroit Lions. It's hard for me to say it's them. I kind of like the Bears here. A little frisky plus 350. Made some good moves in the offseason. I feel like Justin Fields is coming into his own. They've now changed the off. Now they can't run him into the ground. They got to figure out how to open it up for him a little bit. But at plus 350, I will go Chicago Bears here. Moving on to the NFC South. the Saints favorite, plus 115. Then you got the Falcons, the Panthers, Tampa Bay, all the way at the bottom. No Tom Brady. Baker Mayfield. No, you're a big Baker fan over there, Brinson, at plus 800. How do we feel about the NFC South?
Easily number eight in terms of...
Easily.
Yeah. I mean, this is the hardest division to figure out. I mean, look, the Saints are plus 115. I realize that's further ahead than the Lions, but if you feel that confident in the Saints, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, that coaching staff gives me pause. They went 7-10 last year. They weren't very good. Yeah, they upgraded a quarterback and brought in Derek Carr. But to me, the other teams in the division, with the exception of the Buccaneers, got noticeably better. Tampa Bay is dealing with, you know, the fallout from the top. You know, to basically, they sold out to win the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. And, you know, now you deal with the consequences of it. We've seen it in Denver. We've seen it in Baltimore. We've seen it in Seattle. It happens to NFL teams very routinely. The few exceptions are the Patriots and maybe the Steelers. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, the Rams, look at it right now. Like, you sell out to win the Super Bowl, and you do it with a veteran quarterback who, you know, and you're bringing in a lot of, like, high-priced guys, and you're manipulating the cap to try and max out a window, and you pay the price. And that's okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. The Panthers and the Falcons, to me, are the clear-cut value here. I love Atlanta this year. I think they've got them winning double-digit games, 10-7, and they would be my bet, of course, and my pick to win the NFC South. But, I mean, how could I possibly be confident in them when you've got these other three teams that – like if the Bucs won the division at 8-9 again, I wouldn't be shocked. Or 7-8-1, Breach. Nothing about this division would surprise me. I just think Atlanta is like maybe the most solid team in terms of where they rank with their value and the competition they've got to deal with. Plus, their schedule is easy.
Brinson, I want to like the Falcons. I want to love the Falcons, but I just do not trust Desmond Ridder. And as you said, the Falcons do have the easiest schedule based on strength of schedule this season. You know who has the second easiest strength of schedule? The New Orleans Saints. And that is who I like to win this division. I know they're the favorite. I haven't taken very many favorites here, so I'm going to take it. It's plus money. I think for me, you don't have any great rosters in this division, so I am just going to ride the team that has the most proven quarterback. And no matter how you feel about Derek Carr, I think you have to agree that he's the best QB in this division. Now, maybe Bryce Young goes off in his rookie year and takes that title away 4 weeks in. That's certainly possible. But I think right now it's Derek Carr. And for me, that's the deciding factor. But I think the team that I don't want to sleep on and kind of my dark horse is the Carolina Panthers. I think they have a pretty stacked roster. And if Bryce Young looks good, then I think they can win the division. So I would probably bet on both teams leaning. If I'm making a pick right now, it's the Saints. But the Saints and the Panthers play in week two, and I think whoever wins that game ends up winning the division.
Yeah, this one's tough for me. I am going to do what neither of you can do and just lay off this one completely and wait and see. And now we will talk about my favorite division.
I don't care about this division because I want to talk about the NFC West.
That's exactly it, Brinson. That is exactly it. 49ers sitting at the top, minus 165. Then you've got the Seahawks, plus 230, the Rams, and then the Cardinals, who have absolutely no shot in doing anything this year, plus 2500. I will start on this and say yes, that the 49ers are the most likely winners of this division. However, probably better value on Seattle at plus 230. I thought they had a good draft. They made a lot of good offseason moves. You got Geno Smith coming back, who was very impressive last year, even if we do think he's going to regress a little bit. Niners have a tough schedule, and they also have the most miles traveled of any team, which, of course, is going to be working against them this year. But yes, I do think the 49ers are the best in the division and should win it. But if we're going value, I would actually take Seahawks at plus 230.
I think if I'm going value, I actually take the Rams, although I do like the Seahawks.
Brinson, we know why.
7-1. 7-1 with Sean McVay, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald. I don't know. I mean, like, if they improve the offensive line, this team will be – look, I think the Rams have a better chance of winning their division than, like, the Texans do. The Texans are 9-1. 7-1 for the Rams for a team that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago is pretty crazy. With a really good coach – I think a really good quarterback if he's healthy, and then one of the best wide receivers in football, Cooper Kupp. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm picking the Niners to win the division. I'm not betting them. If I were going to do the Niners Chiefs parlay, and I got the Niners are the number two team for me, or excuse me, the number two division for me in terms of confidence winning it. And again, that's really more a reflection of the Niners roster and my belief in Kyle Shanahan winning football games, even if the quarterback situation is not necessarily where he would love it to be. Also, last year this time, it was like Trey Lance is about to explode and dominate the NFL, and he got hurt in his second game. What if the time he spent injured, he was able to really sort of develop? I know you're not getting reps out there, but you know, like well, immersing yourself in the playbook, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's a chance Trey Lance comes in here and just lights the NFL on fire. They traded up for him for a reason. They gave up all that stuff for him for a reason. So I'm pretty confident the Niners win the division, but it's more a reflection of me having questions about the Seahawks and the Rams. And I agree with you. Cardinals are just DOA.
Brinson, don't steal my Rams. Don't get on my Rams bandwagon.
Oh, my God. You're not chasing me off this year, Breach.
Or I'm going to talk you back on it. You're going to pick them in first place. And
remember when I was going to pick them to win the Super Bowl? And you're like, I'm picking them to win the Super Bowl. So I was like, screw you. I'm going Niners. And then they lost to the Niners. They beat the Niners.
And then neither of us picked them. That was the twist.
Yeah,
and
then you flipped on me, which is just really dirtbag news.
A Rams issue is their offensive line, and we can talk about their stars, but they had 11 different starting groups on the offensive line last year, I think, in 17 games. That's an insane number. They're dealing with so many injuries. They were dealing with the retirement of Andrew Whitworth. So they just had a lot of holes to fill, and they just couldn't fill them. So if their offensive line is better, they have the skill players. If Matthew Stafford's healthy, there's no reason this team can't be good. But for me, there's no value anywhere, because the plus money on the Seahawks, the Rams, it doesn't matter, because that way the division, it feels like it's the 49ers division to lose. I mean, that's just what it feels like, because you think the one time you don't think a team can win a division is if they lose their quarterback. With the 49ers, it doesn't matter, because that's what happened last season. Right. They went through multiple starting quarterbacks, still won the division, still went 6-0 in the division. And the thing is, it wasn't close. I mean, they went 13-4. The Seahawks were second place, 9-8. So they won this by four games. Even if they take a tiny step back, they're still the best team in this division. So I like the 49ers a lot here. I'm not even, I agree with Brinson that I'd probably sprinkle a little bit on the Rams, but it does feel like the 49ers are the play. So Katie, there you have it. We love
back to back NFC West champions, baby. Let's go. All right, Brinson, to recap, let's do your number one through number five, most confident.
All right. So I'm going to name the division winners most confident, if that works.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to say Chiefs are one. So I'm saying the Chiefs are my number one. The 49ers are my number two. The Bills are my number three. The Jaguars are my number four. The Bengals my number five. The Cowboys my number six. Lions number seven. And Atlanta Falcons number eight. That's the order of confidence. And it's really not even like that. I mean, that is the order of confidence I have in picking those division winners. It's almost more of like the order of confidence I have in picking that division. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the Falcons, I have an eighth. I mean, anything could happen in that division. And so like, that's the one through eight. That's the Brinson confidence, the Brinson model confidence meter.
Breach. What was
my confidence?
Yep.
Bengals, Cowboys, Bengals,
49ers. I mean, right. I think those are the top two. I'm going to put the Bengals at three.
Sure.
And then after that, I'm not confident about anything.
Yeah, I think that's not
being fair. That's totally fair. All right. One quick thing before we get out of here. Dom said, Kelly, are the Nuggets going to sweep the Lakers tonight? You bet your bottom dollar they are. They're plus 130 right now on the money line. The Lakers do not stand a chance. They have not shown any signs of life that they could get this done tonight. So if you're going to give me the team with the Joker and with Jamal Murray, who went into LA and gave them their first loss in the playoffs at plus 130, I'm taking that all day long. Plus the three. Y'all betting NBA tonight?
Probably.
I've been betting the Heat money line every game of the Eastern Conference Finals. Just put $10 on it every day, and it's paid off nicely.
There you go.
It has paid off nicely. Also, Jimmy Butler steals over 1.5 is free money. It's much like a Matt Stafford interception prop.
Boo! So that's
Boo! I mean, look, you like Matt Stafford. Hey, I'm not saying he's not a great quarterback. I'm just saying he throws a cookie pretty much every single game.
He does. He's aggressive and he likes to throw. He likes to throw cookies. And I like that. I'm going to steal that one. And playoff Jimmy, man, don't mess with playoff Jimmy. He's just Nuggets Heat is not going to be what the NBA wants when they had a chance at Lakers Celtics. But you know what? It makes me kind of happy because screw Lakers Celtics. I don't want to see it. I want to see playoff Jimmy and Jokic, who nobody wants to love, even though he's back-to-back MVP.
Well, before and the Nuggets have never been to the NBA Finals. Let's not forget that. It's always exciting for a new fan base when you see your team get this far for the first time. I would
much rather have an NBA Finals where we're going to come away with Jokic or Jimmy Butler winning a title than the Celtics or the Lakers winning another one.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. It's been a really fun playoff season so far, and so hopefully we'll get the sweeps on both of the Eastern and the Western Conference Finals, and then we will get our Nuggets and Heat final. All right, everyone, that is going to wrap the show today. Thank you so much for rocking with us. Tomorrow we got the Brady Quinn football show, and then on Thursday it is our mailbag show, so send us questions at Pick6Pod on Twitter.
Mailbag
or any of our individual accounts for our upcoming mailbag episode. We'll see you next time.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.